Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
Several meetings ago, I missed a meeting several meetings ago in which Council Mike Husak used that opportunity to sit in the taxpayer-funded chair using that taxpayer-funded microphone and speak my name, and then proceeded to publicly admonish me and ridicule me for having the audacity to intervene in the case to secure the public records that the mayor has reduced thus far to produce.
In the 2025 version of Days of Our Milton, if there's drama in Milton, it's going to involve Mike Husak and Howard Steele, and perhaps Heather Lindsay, although not as much in this case. But that is Howard Steele, again, a former candidate for county commission who did not win, but has now become, kind of the gadfly in the city council meetings, because he's the one who says, you know, look, this is dumb. What you're doing here is wrong. You got to change this. And, I mean, he's usually correct. And he has been the sort of the last holdout, persisting on the records case with Heather Lindsay that she still has never produced and which cost the city all this money because she did not produce them. And there was a meeting previous where Mike Husak had criticized him while he was not there. And he says, you know, will you not say something about this? I missed this meeting. And, you know, he was naming me and ridiculing me. And I think that is completely inappropriate. And I know the audio quality is not great. It was the podium mic was not working, so it was basically picking up the audio from another mic in the room, and I had to amplify it. And so I know it's not perfectly crystal clear, but it's worth trying to hear anyway what Howard Steele is going to say, which is going to become the setup of a whole lot of other conversation in this meeting, which is very interesting to me, philosophically interesting. So I'm going to let you hear as much of Howard Steele as we possibly can. And remember, they're actually in the process of making what I call the Howard Steele protocols, which is the rules for committees and behavior of members of committees when they're talking at city council and other things. But, you know, you've got to be respectful and civil and nice and, you know, don't badmouth people and attack them. I mean, just, you know, they're making a set of rules because of Howard Steele because they don't like it the way he talks to them. Anyway, so Howard continues.
Five of you, along with Mr. Husak, voted to dismiss that lawsuit. Would any of you like to take Mr. Husak's lead, now that I'm in front of you, to publicly admonish me for my intervention in getting the public records that the public deserves? Would any of you like to admonish me? Five of you.
Now that I'm here, would any of the five of you who voted to end that case like he did, would you like to admonish me now that I'm actually here for you to say it?
Sir,
I would like this council to condemn Mr. Husak's action. In the words he used, he is a public official elected by the people.
He's a public official elected by the people. I'd like you to condemn his comments.
And he used that opportunity to publicly admonish me and ridicule me because I invoked my right to the public records. Mr. Husak is a bully. Plain and simple.
Plain and simple. So you say, well, okay, so far, I mean, you know, it's Howard, you know, getting upset. Oh, no, it gets better. If I were to write Days of Our Milton, if I were to choreograph it and orchestrate it, I don't think I could do a better job of what it does all on its own for our entertainment. So he's not just upset, he's taking action.
And I will stand.
I will push back against the bully.
Mr. Husak, I will be filing an ethics complaint.
Filing an ethics complaint.
You will be answering for your actions.
You'll answer.
You will never. And let me tell you something. Anyone of you ever do it? I don't care who it is. Anyone of you ever provoke someone's name and then proceed to publicly ridicule them? I will be the first. file an ethics complaint against Kenny Moore.
So he's going to file an ethics complaint against him for criticizing a citizen in absentia. And he says, I'll do that for any of y'all, for anybody that you guys attack like that.
Mr. Cusack, you faced an ethics complaint before. And you were found guilty by the state ethics committee. You will face them again, and you will answer your actions.
You will answer for your actions. You faced him before, remember, because he destroyed public records and did not produce public records. And, just going way back, it's all this long-sorted history, but, I remember when I was first asking for text message records between Mike Cusack and Scott Collins at the time over the hiring of the city manager, and via Don Molinaro, who was the clerk at the time, she said that his answer was he can have them when he gets a court to force me to disclose the records. And I'm like, do you not understand what the law is? you don't need to get a court order to make you produce text messages, which have now been deleted and or went away in a phone that he got rid of that he says he got rid of. I mean, and that's part of why the whole ethics thing was all related to all that. So anyway, so that's Howard Steele's comments. We'll come back to the follow because I said it gets better with the follow-up. Okay.
Oh, boy. This is good.
I love John. See, I actually waited for John to come back because I knew he loves Days of Our Milton. And I didn't want him to miss it while he was away. So I saved it for you because you're a resident.
Yes.
Okay. So go ahead, John. Tell about Traffic on the Fives.
Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. Just one accident to let you know about. Eastbound lane, Mobile Highway, just west of Blue Angel. That lane is blocked still. So just be aware of that. I-10, I-110 are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to the Milton City Council meeting. Not the most recent one, the one before. I'm actually meeting behind. I apologize. It's my fault. There's just been so much stuff going on. But right after Howard Steele makes his comments, uninterrupted except for Heather Lindsay tried to answer one of his questions. But if she tries to talk during his comments, he will scold her for that. So she knew better than to do that. And then she followed up with,
are there any other remarks that any other member of the public would like to make at this time?
So Mike Cusack said nothing. There was nothing, total silence. It just sat there, took it, didn't say anything. Heather Lindsay moves on to other business. 40 minutes later. So I need the clock, kind of the clock ticks and time goes by. And then we think we're done with it. And we're not done with it. Because Heather Lindsay comes back and trying to be nice.
When I want to say thank you to Councilman Cusack, when Mr. Steele made his views known, as he has a right to do, I know in the past when we've had folks come to the podium over the years, sometimes people are upset and they say things that are strongly worded, and sometimes it encourages or provokes, whatever word you want to use, commentary from us to the individual. And I don't think that's useful. Sometimes I do it too, and I don't think it helps. So I just want to compliment you, Councilman Cusack, for not being drawn into a dialogue, because the dialogue, I think, has to happen outside the chamber rather than back and forth with the member of the public.
All right, so at this point, you know something's coming because I'm talking about it. You know something's coming. What's your prediction here? You have any guess at how this is going to go? Because I'll tell you, you're going to guess wrong. Whatever your guess is going to be wrong, okay? What you're probably thinking is, well, now maybe Mike Cusack is going to say something, or maybe Howard Steele is going to get back up and respond, or, Pam Mitchell is going to say something, or whatever, if you know City of Milton people. And she's not with the city, but she's one of the Pitchfork Posse folks. Anyway, no, that's not it. A newcomer to the tournament, City Councilman Robert Leak, is going to jump in and offer a solution.
On that, moving forward to other meetings, since the city is no longer involved in this lawsuit and this lawsuit is gone, would it be out of order to call point of order from here on out? Mm-hmm. I don't know what everybody else's thoughts are on that, but moving forward, so we can move forward, stopping that dialogue at that point, would that be stepping on someone's First Amendment rights, talking about a lawsuit that we're no longer involved in?
Do you get what he's suggesting? Okay, a point of order is when there's a procedural violation in the meeting and you want to cause, you basically call for reflection on what's happening in the meeting so that you can stop whatever isn't appropriate. Somebody is talking about a subject that's already been voted on, or somebody's talking about, you know, or you just voted on, or, you know, they're trying to open back up. Sometimes it's an issue, but speaking out of turn, people haven't been recognized, people are exceeding their time, people are violating the rules. There's all kinds of things, okay? It doesn't happen very often, but it's sort of the civilized way of saying, excuse me, Chair, can you please get this under control because we're out of order? And what Robert Leek is saying is, if Howard Steele keeps bringing this up, can we say point of order and make him shut up? Can we stop him from talking about this at every meeting? Because he has been talking about this at most of the meetings. And since we've already settled this issue of the lawsuit, can we just make him shut up and go away because we don't like what he's saying, because we don't want to have to hear about this again? He's literally asking, can we make another Howard Steele rule so that we can prevent him from continually griping about this because we don't want to hear it? That is an unbelievable thing for a city councilman to suggest. And by the way, he gets support from Larry McKee.
I want to say I'm tired of beating a dead horse.
Yeah.
I think everybody has voiced very loud and clear, and some respectful, some not so respectful. We're past it.
Yeah. Like, we need to stop this ongoing waste of our time. The citizen who's upset talking about the thing that we don't want to hear about anymore.
It is finished. The courts have settled. They're made up their mind how it's going to be done. We are no longer in it. It is not something we should be discussing any further. I think Councilman Hawthorne actually made it very clear the other day that it's time to move on.
Yeah.
And I agree. It is time to move forward. We don't have to agree or disagree with the issue. It's time to move forward.
Well, what would the implication be that if Howard Steele shows up at the next meeting and he starts talking about the lawsuit, that we would... Point of order, sir, you're not allowed to talk about that in public forum. And if you continue to talk about it, we're going to have you removed. I mean, that's the ultimate, like, what could you do? That's what they're proposing. They're not spelling it out quite that way, but that's what they're talking about is if he keeps... How many of these meetings involve members of the public, whether it's in Escambia or Santa Rosa or Pensacola or Milton or Gulf Breeze, involve members of the public repeatedly bringing up things that they think are important, that they're frustrated about with their government? I mean, you know the family that came to every single Santa Rosa County Commission meeting? Oh my God, I forget his name. It's Ryan something. I can't remember. Fowler. Because they were upset about Jubilee. And his family spoke too. I mean, they would typically take, 9 to 12 minutes of the meeting with his wife and their kids. Again and again and again and again and again. Larry Downs Jr. in Escambia County. Mel Pino in Escambia County. I mean, every council body group at the Pitchfork Posse, Jerry Cooey, Pam Mitchell, Sherry Chapman. Well, you keep bringing up stuff that you've brought up before, and we don't want to hear it. We're just going to ban people for saying stuff again and again? That's what they're proposing. And remember, some of these people are also really loud about First Amendment rights. What I thought was fascinating is that the Pitchfork Posse, which has been really loud about their First Amendment rights in a lot of cases, had nothing to say about this. Dead silence. Now, I don't know how many of them were at this meeting. I don't know if Jerry was there. Jerry's a big, every time there's any threat to the First Amendment, he's going to get up there and talk. I haven't heard him talk about this at all at these meetings. Now, I don't know if he's not there. I mean, I'm not watching. I'm usually listening, but anyway, now I do want to, before we go on, because we're going to pause, we got episode 3 coming up next hour. I do want to give credit where it's due. This is not the end of the conversation. We're halfway there. And there are a couple of the city council members who are going to get it right. And the first and foremost to get it right was Mayor Lindsay. And I don't get to say this an awful lot, but Mayor Lindsay was 100% right in the way she responded to what Robert Leek and Larry McKee were saying about shutting up the public because they didn't like keeping to hear about it.
Well, I personally would just ask that if you feel that way, to speak to the member of the public outside of the chambers, because I don't think from a First Amendment perspective that I have the right to call him out of order or any member of the public out of order, even if they're bringing up something that's you may feel is old news. They still have a right to speak to city business, and if I'm being too open as far as the time, place, and manner restriction, and y'all disagree with me, I understand, but I would just defer to Mr. Adams on whether it would be appropriate for me to do that. My inclination is to, you know, allow members of the public to say what they're going to say, because that's what they're here. That's what that time is.
Well, that was my.
That's 100% right. Well done, Mayor Lindsay. She's chastising Robert Leak and Larry McKee for apparently not understanding the First Amendment very well. I mean, it's like, it's amazing that somebody would get to the point where they would actively suggest in a meeting in Florida under the Sunshine Law, is there any way we can make that guy shut up again and again and again and stop having to hear this nonsense? It's, God, it's wasting my time. So annoying. It's over. It's not city business anymore. It's done. Like I said, we'll come back to this next hour because this conversation continued to be interesting to me. 625 here on News Radio 92.3. Oh, the texts are kind of funny. One person says, can we just memory hole this lawsuit? Somebody says, I find this absolutely unbelievable. Oh, sorry. Absolutely believable. Somebody says they work for the people and that they're trying to censor. Yeah. Anyway, maybe people are finally tired of all the backroom under the table dealings that this council is known for. Somebody else says, surely there's still at least a couple of folks trying to get the records. Yeah. There you go. John Pickens has got traffic on the five. That's part two. Part three is next hour at 7:10. Go ahead,
John. Oh boy. Can't wait. All right. If you're on Mobile Highway, just west of Blue Angel, the eastbound lane is blocked there. Still, we've got first responders on the scene for that vehicle crash that happened. But I-10, I-110, Highway 90, 29 are all looking good this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Every Subaru at Anderson Subaru is built with quality parts and precision engineering, so you can count on your Subaru to be with you for the long road ahead. And you can count on a great rate from Anderson Subaru to help you get there. With 0% APR financing for 72 months on 2025 Solterra models, with 1.9% APR financing for 72 months on 2025 Outback models, or 2.9% APR financing for 72 months on 2025 Crosstrek models, and 3.9% APR for 48 months on 2025 Forester models. 0%, 1.9%, 2.9%, and 3.9%. Combined with legendary reliability and longevity, there's even more reason to love a Subaru. From Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you, Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
We Care Home Hotline, this is Woody.
Oh man, it's so hot. The AC just can't keep up. What do I do?
Trust the Gnome to protect your home. If your AC's in rag order, our HVAC technicians can fix it up and keep your system running at peak performance all year round.
Thanks, Woody.
Whether HVAC, plumbing, or electrical, WeCare has certified technicians ready to handle all your home service needs. Schedule online at WeCareHeatAndAir.com.
At Pensacola Christian Academy, your child will thrive in a safe, caring environment designed to build a solid foundation. Kindergartners become confident readers, develop fine motor skills through cursive writing, and sharpen problem-solving skills with engaging hands-on learning. Experience the affordable excellence and unmatched value of Pensacola Christian Academy. Learn more at enrollpca.com/radio.
During the month of July, score incredible savings on American-made flooring at Jonathan's Flooring. Like 5mm vinyl plank flooring in a variety of colors with pads, normally $2.99, now only $2.49 a square foot. Or 6.5mm vinyl plank flooring in a variety of colors with pads, normally $3.99, now $3.29 a square foot. The Made in America sales event happening throughout the month of July at Jonathan's Flooring, 9320 North Palafox, and online at jonathansflooring.com.
You're at the age where you're ready to retire. You're probably considering downsizing. You've worked hard all of your life, and now it's time for you to enjoy your time. But where? There are many choices when it comes to a retirement community, but there is one you'd really want to know more about. Tune in today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as Tranquil Villas and Myrtle Grove Villas will be the guests to discuss all the great reasons to consider retiring in either retirement community. You'll be glad you did.
Like what you hear?
Give us your feedback by filling out our News Radio Listener Advisory Board survey. Just go to our website, newsradio923.com, and fill it out.
Simple.
News Radio 92.3.
Chris, Bye, Felicia.
Bye, Felicia. 6:30 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with a headline or two for us. David?
Well, good morning. Here we go. Columbia University agreeing to pay a $200 million fine to settle accusations by the Trump administration that the university discriminated against Jewish students. Columbia says they'll not admit wrongdoing as part of the deal, and they'll get hundreds of millions in federal grant money back.
I've never understood this. We're going to pay $200 million and not admit wrongdoing. What do you think the $200 million means?
I'm Chris Foster. Republicans joined Democrats pushing for Jeffrey Epstein files. Fox's David Spunt in D.C.
A House subcommittee voted to subpoena the Justice Department for documents in the sex trafficking investigation into Jeffrey Epstein. House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer issued a formal subpoena for Ghislaine Maxwell to testify in a prison deposition.
Maxwell's an Epstein accomplice. Columbia agrees to settle anti-Semitism claims for $221 billion.
A senior White House official tells Fox News the historic settlement reinstates most terminated federal grants, restores Columbia's eligibility for future grants and awards, and closes pending investigations into the university.
Fox's Kristen Goodwin. The Justice Department's announcing a task force to investigate allegations the Obama administration rigged 2016 election interference investigations. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Right now we've got 77 degrees. It is cloudy here in Pensacola. We'll get our forecast with Brooke Richardson here in just a few minutes. Governor DeSantis and First Lady Casey DeSantis have announced historic funding for pediatric cancer research.
As a breast cancer survivor, Casey DeSantis highlighted the $30 million Cancer Innovation Fund for pediatric cancer the governor approved in the state budget.
We're at war with cancer, and we need to win, and we're going to win in the state of Florida. I believe that because you have good people, good institutions, the backing of the taxpayer, and people who really want to make a difference.
She said she's grateful that the legislature joined the governor in providing almost $130 million in funding for the Casey DeSantis Cancer Research Program. I'm Karen Curtis.
Thank you very much, Karen. State Attorney General James Uthmeyer says several arrests have now been made. More might be on the way in regards to a multi-state fraud ring. During a joint press conference in Polk County, Sheriff Grady Judd said tellers at a bank accessed private data, then sold it to another person who posted it on Telegram.
When it went online with Telegram, people from around the world would purchase this information, and then subsequently they could set up accounts.
Among those arrested are two former football players from the University of West Virginia. Judd said there could be as many as 200 victims and hundreds of suspects. The losses in the case total about $8.8 million. A Pensacola woman that owned a tax preparation service could face 20 counts of is facing 20 counts of aiding or assisting in the preparation of a false tax return, also one count of identity theft. The state attorney's office says Christine Harper was indicted Monday in federal court. Documents show the alleged fraudulent returns date back to 2019 and go through 2023. If convicted, Harper could face up to 65 years in prison. The nationwide crackdown on illegal immigration has resulted in multiple ICE raids across our area. We learned this week that ICE detained two people after a raid at Emerald Coast Lawns in Navarre. Yesterday, agents also raided a construction site for a new elementary school in Loxley. 11 people were detained there. Channel 3 reporting that a worker described employees attempting to escape into the fields, but agents were out in the fields on four-wheelers, so they ended up back at the school hiding in attics. This comes after another raid at a school construction site in Gulf Shores last month resulted in multiple arrests being made. A Canadian tourist is now recovering from surgery after a shark bite at Hollywood Beach. Fire rescue spokeswoman Shay Kaufman says the man in his 40s was in chest-high water when it all happened.
He saw a fish jump over his head, and then the next thing you know, he saw a big splash afterwards and realized that he was in pain, and he had a severe laceration to his arm.
First responders were able to give him a tourniquet before he got to the ambulance. Beachgoers were then kept out of the water there for about a half an hour, which is common after any shark bite. It is 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. John Pickens, good morning.
Well, good morning, David. We've got one accident to let you know about, the eastbound lane of Mobile Highway. Just west of Blue Angel, that lane is blocked. It's 8 Mile Creek Road, and Mobile Highway is where the accident actually started, but it's backed up all the way past Blue Angel, so just be aware of that. And make alternate plans. I-10, I-110, they are looking good and flowing smoothly. Highway 29, 90, 98, no delays associated there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
And thank you very much, John. Our Channel 3 forecast.
We do have an 80% chance of showers and thunderstorms today, high near 90 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 78. For Friday, 80% chance of rain, high near 90. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 77. Going into Saturday, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 90 degrees and a low near 77. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now it is mostly cloudy. We've got 77 degrees. Your next news at 7. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Tesla shares fell 6% after the company reported second quarter automotive sales that dipped again. Musk said Tesla probably could have a few rough quarters ahead because of the expiration of federal electric vehicle tax credits. Tesla is facing stiffer competition globally from electric vehicle players, especially low-cost competitors from China. Regal Cinemas has announced that every Tuesday and Wednesday for the next few weeks, tickets will be available for just $1. This comes as AMC is offering half-priced movie tickets on those same days. The White House said President Trump will visit the Federal Reserve today at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, escalating his pressure campaign against Chairman Jerome Powell. This is the first time in nearly two decades that an American president will be making an official trip to the central bank. Futures are mixed ahead of Trump's visit to the Fed later today. Wednesday, the Dow gained 507, the NASDAQ up 127, the S&P 500 up 49. That's Your Money Now.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting truly great candidates for your roles? It seems impossible to find them, but they have to be out there somewhere, right? Well, they're not hard to find when you know where to go, and that place is ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. And because these people are actively looking for jobs just like yours, it's easy to find the right person right away. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. But if you're not using ZipRecruiter, you're missing out. So see what it's like when the impossible is easy. When you go to ZipRecruiter.com/free right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
This is the story of the one. As a safety manager at a manufacturing plant, he does everything he can to keep his coworkers safe. From finding ways to reduce risks, to keeping safety supplies in stock. And for that, he relies on Grainger. Grainger offers a broad range of quality products and next-day delivery, so he can always play it safe. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Summer's heating up, and so is the menu at Sonny's Barbecue. This is Eldon with Sonny's. Sink your teeth into delicious competition-style St. Louis ribs, smoked to perfection and ready for a standing ovation. Or try the new barbecue slider sampler. 3 bold sandwiches and 1 happy belly. Feeling a little tangy? Grab the Tennessee Vinegar Pulled Pork Sandwich. It's got a zip that you won't soon forget. Don't forget to save room for the strawberry corn cakes. They're sweet, seasonal, and only for summer. Visit sonnysbarbecue.com for the location nearest you.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Are you looking for the best news in talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
All right, I have a question, and I think it's going to mess y'all up. But I think it's a good...
And you normally mess y'all up all the time.
Yeah, well, because it's... I think it's a... I love a good question that provokes conversation, discussion, and thinking, right? As a philosopher. That's what I love. And this is one of those... kind of things. The more I thought about it, the more I thought, well, we definitely have to talk about this. The question is, would it bother you if you found out that your pastor... Where's your brain go? If you found out that your pastor was using AI to help write his sermons. 437-1620. 437-1620. Would it bother you if your pastor, if you found out, if your pastor was using AI to help write his sermons? Because there's a study, or I guess it's probably more appropriately called a survey, that says that this is becoming more and more common. And Barna Group did a study last year. Senior Protestant clergy says 12%, so that's about 1 in 7, 1 in 8, okay, described being comfortable using AI to write sermons. So if you go to 8 churches, one of them at least admits that they're using AI to write their sermons. And 43%, so that's 2 in 5, said they saw the merits in sermon preparation and research. Naomi Cease Carricker, a pastor at Messiah the Mountains Lutheran Church in Burnsville, North Carolina. I don't know what's in it. I don't know. Just, you know, she's a Lutheran pastor. Okay. Probably ELCA. ECLA. ELCA. I can't. It's been so long since I was really in the midst of all the denominations that I may forget my acronyms at this point. Says it's like a mini research paper you have to prepare every week. And some weeks, well, life is just a lot.
But that's your job.
But that's the job.
Right. I'm like, wait a second.
What do you mean? In fact, honestly, I mean, this is more me. I've given, gosh, I don't know, about 10 maybe sermons in my life. I don't know, something like that. I love preaching. Like, it's really fun. It's a lot of work, but it's really fun because it's like you really get to do interesting research and think and plan and write, and it's all the good things. And I'm like, that's the gravy for me. And, you know, for me, if I were ever to be a pastor, being preaching is the gravy. You know, going to the potluck and, you know, visiting the ill.
Well, I was about to say the potluck was the best part.
Well, man. Yeah, but I mean, I'm just, you know, there are some people who have a heart for the shepherding pastoral aspects of being a minister. That's not me. And then other people, you know, because I'm a cold-hearted person inside. And then there are other people, and those people don't necessarily like the preaching. And they're maybe not that good at it. And then there's other people who, again, this would be like sort of me, you know, who love the preaching and the speaking and the entertaining and the provoking and the, you know, the that. And are like, but do I have to go visit the hospital? You know, like, what do you mean I got to sit here and pray with these people who tell me their problem? You know, like that kind of stuff. Anyway, I mean, I actually do like that, but it's more like work. Anyway, the point is, for some people, writing a sermon is something they don't really want to have to do all the time. So clergy apparently talks about this in hushed tones, as understandably. What she did, this one female pastor, she says she opens up ChatGPT. She plugs in the Bible reading for the week, along with a few blog posts on the passage that she has admired in the past. And suddenly, within 30 seconds, she has a 900-word sermon. And she reads it through and says, oh, my God, this is really good. But she also thinks, but this feels so wrong. So 437-1620, 437-1620. Tell me what you think about all this. Why not? Why can't? Why wouldn't the Holy Spirit work through AI, she asks. What do you think? I mean, how would you feel if you found out your pastor? Because I bet you the pastors who are doing this, it's more than you think. And they don't tell anybody. Is my guess. And the fact that they don't tell anybody should tell you something about how they really feel about it. Or maybe they feel like, you know, you wouldn't understand. I don't know. I'm curious to see what people say about that, because I have a lot of thoughts, okay? John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Oh, boy. Now you got me. I'm like, thanks, Andrew. All right. Still dealing. If you're on 8 Mile Creek Road, a Mobile Highway at that intersection, and going eastbound, that lane is blocked in the eastbound lane. It's backed up all the way to Blue Angel. So it's cleared up. Thank you. I really do appreciate it.
It's not your
that.
Show today, Candy.
Sorry, Greg.
Thanks, Candy. I do appreciate that. It's all cleared up. So we're good to go. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens and Candy with your traffic on the fives.
We love Candy so much.
Yes.
She is such a sweetheart. Okay, so the question of the moment, anyway, is would it bother you if you found out your pastor was using AI to help write the sermons? Either to write them entirely, partially, supplement, do research, whatever. Texts, we'll get to John and my thoughts on this in a second, but let me read some of your texts. Vicky says, that would bother me a lot, in all caps, a lot. Somebody else says it would depend entirely on how they use it. Let's say, I guess the question for you is, do you use AI at all for your job? And the answer is almost never. The only time I use AI is if there's something AI related and I'm trying to kind of like do a little research within the environment to figure out how it would behave. I've also used it occasionally for, give me the 3 or 4 pro and cons on this. And I don't know that it's ever given me anything I didn't already know, but I'm always kind of curious if it might. But I mean, probably a dozen times or 20 times ever. So no, I do not use AI. I don't like it. I don't believe in it. I reject it. I am opposed. Okay. And I think it is destroying education because all the kids use AI to write their papers instead of actually learning the material. But that itself is an interesting conversation, because if you look back in history, you might say, well, people in the past could have said that. For instance, you know, the things that you think of as essential human endeavors in the past might have included the ability to make a fire without a match, or the ability to till some ground and raise a crop, or, you know, raise some cattle or sheep, or build a house, or dig a well. I'm not sure most of us know how to do that anymore. Why? Because technology has solved that for us, or other people have figured that skill out, and we don't have to do that. There's all kinds of things that over time don't retain their status as a necessary human activity. And we're in a case right now where things like, you know, grammar, punctuation, spelling, I mean, a lot of people don't have any ability to do that. It's entirely machine dependent. The little green and blue squiggles under the text tell you when it's wrong, and it'll suggest something for you, and you just implement the suggestion. And of course, the full-blown more version of that is having somebody write your sermon with it. I mean, it's just, I think the answer here is yes, this is bad. But I don't think there are elements of this that you might not have thought of. Like, for instance, John, what's your first reaction? Your first reaction is negative, right?
Yeah.
This would bother you if your pastor was using AI to, because you're like, well, I could just generate my own sermon.
But they still have to know the material.
Right?
And
you
they
would
still
hope.
Have, yeah, I hope.
You would hope?
Yeah, I would hope.
But here's technology that pastors do use, and nobody bats an eyebrow.
But the number that you told me was higher than I would have even imagined.
Right. You would think it'd be much lower. Well, pastors are humans.
Yeah.
And some of them are young. I assume the young more often than the older. But, you know, for example, you use a concordance.
True.
That's a piece of technology that supplants and enhances your own memory of Bible verses. You read commentaries and synthesizing what other people have said will shape your
or like
idea.
She said, the blog post.
Right, reading blog posts. Mm-hmm. Okay. Presumably, very few pastors read the passages in their original languages. Presumably, they read translations, probably multiple. Parallel Bibles are a great way to read multiple translations of a passage to get your sense of it. I mean, those are all ways of doing something sort of similar, of drawing on resources. And remember, the AI is going to draw on lots more resources than you remember, than you have access to. Lots more evidence, information, cases. It might get things wrong. But, you know, humans get it wrong, too. I mean, what if the AI writes a better sermon than your pastor?
Ooh, boy.
Whose gift isn't preaching, you know, but like shepherding or community service right. or evangelism. You know, what if their gift just isn't sermonizing?
Interesting.
You know? Okay, back to the text, 437.
You're making me think too early in the morning.
I'm trying. And again, I'm saying, like, if I were a pastor, absolutely not, because I know I already don't do it when I'm doing this. Somebody says, Andrew, you're my preacher every morning. Oh.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That's so sweet.
Yes. Can I get an amen?
Come on, preacher. Come on, somebody says.
Come on, man.
No, it doesn't bother me, Michael says. Pastors I've had in my life could quote more from the Bible than any I ever knew. If it helps the pastor prepare a better sermon, then better for all. Yeah, because, I mean, on the one hand, is it doing the job the pastor should be doing? Or is it fulfilling the role of having three or four friends who all give you ideas that you borrow from and, you know, that you brainstorm with on a sermon, which isn't the most common thing, but it certainly could happen. You know, if it reminds you, I mean, what if it gives you ideas and you're like, oh, that's good, you know, and you incorporate it. Let's see. Somebody says, suggestion, have traffic use AI. No, I need a John here.
No,
I can't hear.
No means no.
Good morning, Andrew. As a pastor, AI is not the way it works. The pastor is supposed to read and study and allow the Holy Spirit to work. The Holy Spirit does not work through AI. That's not the way it works. Sorry. Yeah, I mean, you know your congregation. You know their needs. You know their situations.
You
know what
the
Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You pray. The Holy Spirit is weighing on you something, and it's opening mm-hmm. your eyes to something. And, you know, I mean, really, if you want to get into it, the standard Christian doctrine says that you can't even understand the Bible without the Holy Spirit helping you understand it. And Jesus even said, you know, this stuff we tell you, you're not supposed to understand. It's only through the Holy Spirit you can understand this stuff. And it actually keeps you from understanding it if you're not using the Holy Spirit. Is the AI tapped into the Spirit? No, probably not.
No, I don't think so.
The AI is, you know, indwelt.
We're not there
I don't
yet.
Think that's really
We're
working that yet. Way. Let's see. For research that is verified with another source or to check grammar, okay. For writing the sermon, absolutely not. Pastors are not writing for a newspaper or fake news. Let's see. Somebody here says, what is this? students in 2040 when the teacher asks what their name is, but ChatGPT servers are down. And it's a picture of the character from SpongeBob, the orange one, the starfishy one that's got his, like, drool hanging out of his and his
right.
eyes are all askew. Let's see. I do think it's bad because they don't know the material the way they should. Probably AI makes the sermon more interesting, somebody else says. Justin writes, it's a muscle that turns to mush when you don't use it, like today's youth, not being able to come up with thoughts on their own or write their own ideas. Yeah. Let's see. This is why they like Calvary Chapel churches. The pastors teach through the Bible line by line. I've always learned more in those churches than when you get a sermon, basically a pep talk or current events. And, I understand all of that. I would be troubled by it. And I think that's why the pastor wouldn't tell you, because they also believe you would be troubled by that. I mean, that's supposed to be their thing, their gift, their skill, what they're supposed to do. 4, 3, 7, 16, 20, John writes, it's not bad. Pastors use Bible commentaries, thesaurus, other reference material every week, and AI is just a different variation on that, which is kind of what I was saying. Yeah, I mean, and I kind of get that perspective too. So just a, you know, thing to... You know, if you want to ask your pastor, you can. But remember, like, AI might remember better than you do. AI might remember worse than you do. AI might gain you access to reference material you didn't have. It might distort the message in subtle ways. And here's the thing, you know, using AI might mean that because you didn't have to create the thing yourself, you missed out on and you're congregation missed out on the thing you would have created through prayer and thought. And that to me is that's a really subtle difference, but kind of like the opportunity cost of it, that, you know, what God really wanted to speak through you to them about that week didn't come about because you relied on something else. But in fairness, somebody might say, well, can God not use the AI to speak through you?
Boy, you're... Andrew, you're making me think.
It's a good question.
I need AI to tell me how to think.
All right. Hey, if you're thinking about that next vehicle and you're wanting to decide where to go, start with Frontier Motors, a great selection of good quality used cars, 300 or so on the lot. You can sample a bunch. You can test drive a bunch. And I really recommend you test drive more than just one or two. I think it's pretty common for people to test drive just a couple. And, you know, you might even find, like, you get down to, you know, this is the kind of the model I want, but what year, what trim level, what color, things that might matter. And you might figure out which car you're going to buy, but you might then have to drive 10 more after that just to find the exact one you want. Whatever. Frontier Motors is available for you at whatever level of engagement and the process you need. They're there for you to make it easy, to give you good quality used cars you can count on. Serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway, be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. We're rolling back to all clear.
Oh, I thought you were going to do it. I thought you were going to. Right, we are rolling all clear along the lines of.
Oh, yeah. Well.
Oh, Candy revised her revision.
Oh.
Fair enough. I appreciate the update.
Yeah, I really do. I really do. Okay. So it's backed up a Mobile Highway around Blue Angel Parkway. So be aware of that, as Candy just told us. And let's see here, I-10, I-110 look good, but we do have a traffic light on a 9 Mile Road that is completely out. I'll get more information on that. Nothing's flashing, so treat that as a four-way stop. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
I will say, I was talking about this with my son yesterday about the AI thing, and he said, you always have to go back and edit and add. Because,
oh, of course, yeah.
Because AI sounds like AI. It's obvious and bland and terrible. But it may generate things that are interesting and
something you may not have thought of.
Yeah, interesting. And somebody says professors use grad students. AI is just sort of like a, you know, less accomplished grad student.
Yeah.
There are a lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately, such as insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job that they sold to you. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9:30 as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida today at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Hi, this is Jeff Wayne, General Sales Manager of ADX Communications. Our team of expert marketing consultants, backed by over 200 years of combined experience, has helped hundreds of local businesses increase their market share. With four powerful radio stations, we can create a customized marketing plan tailored to your needs. And if digital advertising is part of your strategy, we've got you covered. ADX Digital offers cutting-edge solutions and exclusive products and strategies that gives your business an edge. Let's make 2025 a year of success for your business, whether it's on the market leader, Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, the area's top news talk station, the go-to for sports fans, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, Pensacola Playlist 94.5 for reaching women and lifestyle audiences, or ADX Digital, targeted digital strategies that drive results. One call, one team, endless possibilities. Call me, Jeff Wayne, at 850-262-6000.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Summer season is here, and Florida summers can really be hot. But despite the warm temperatures, your garden can still produce some beautiful flowers and delicious vegetables. Get all of your garden tips from me, Mike Wiggins, on the Garden Line, heard on the Pensacola Expert Panel every Tuesday from 9 till 10, and Encore Hour Saturday from 9 till 10 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Garden Line is presented by Blue Sky Landscaping and Pensacola Hardware.
All of your local news and talk from dependable host Andrew McKay on your morning drive with Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3.
Every now and then you say something that makes me think you're smart. And then I look at you and that shock fades.
All right. right, we're up against the end of the hour, but David Wayne, do you have a quick headline for us before the news hits?
Oh, I do. A video captured by a Ring camera in Compton has gone viral. It shows what appears to be a small gray creature walking past a woman's home in the middle of the night. This creature appears to have an elongated head and walk hunched over. It's had over 1 million views. A lot of people believe it's an alien. Skeptics say it's a child, a person in a mariachi hat, or somebody covered in a blanket.
It's a scoliosis alien.
On air at 92.3.